resident, you know, we need to pray that God's hand of mercy and love be upon him. And, you know, all of those officials up there, there seems to be a lot of them that keeps increasing, where there's more and more of them that have that coronavirus. You know, I believe a lot of them were at that thing for the judge, you know, and a whole bunch of them are getting sick, you know, or at least they got the coronavirus, they're testing positive. So keep them all in prayer, you know. We need to pray that God's hand of mercy and love be on them. Anybody? Oh, and I'd like for you to remember my brother, too. He's in the hospital. He had cellulitis on his legs, and he's got some pretty bad looking open sores on his legs. And he called me this morning, and he said they tested him, and he's got a staph infection in his legs. So just remember him, you know. Margaret, you got any more back there? Anybody else got any prayer requests? Rich?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. 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 Talby family. Okay. Yeah. You got one, Brenda.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I will. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. Praise the Lord. Let's remember the family, yes. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Let's continue to remember Josh in the hospital. I mean, he's not in the hospital. He's in the nursing home, you know. There's just so many people in those nursing homes. I keep hearing about more and more all the time, where nobody can go visit them hardly, and man, that's awful. I mean, you know, because that's the only real, you know, outside thing that they have, you know, the loved ones coming to see them and stuff. And I mean, boy, I tell you, this thing's been an awful thing. I mean, is there anybody else? Anybody else? Sherry? Uh-huh. Okay, we'll keep you in prayer, and we're glad to pray for you if you want us to. I mean, yeah, we can come back there if you want. You want us to come back and pray for you? Okay, we'll do that in just a second. Anybody else got any other requests?
I have a praise report.
Yeah.
We requested prayer 2 weeks ago for my brother Paul and his wife Rhonda. They needed one of those things, and her dad needed surgery, I think next week, down in another state, and she found out she needed these stents put in, and
amen.
Paul got a report that his cancer had not spread, thank the Lord, and then they decided that she could wait until she went to be with her father. She's the only child,
yeah.
And so it meant a lot to her. And so thank the Lord for working things out in his time.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes. Anybody else? Okay. Mike, you come up and lead us in prayer, and let some of us go over and we'll pray for Sherry. Let's go over and pray for Sherry. Anybody can come over and wants to pray for me.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you so very much for another day. And Father, we just thank you for listening to our requests today. And Father, I know there are probably some that were unspoken today. And Father, you already knew what those are. And Father, we believe that you are moving and shaking and all these things that are going on. And Father, we just give you all the praise and glory for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Okay. That's what I like to see, people fighting over doing something for the Lord. No. Praise the Lord. Buddy, would you bless the offering, please? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. He is so worthy of all praise, all glory, all honor. We lift him today. We magnify him today. Praise God. You know, my sister-in-law's been staying with us, and you know, I call her my sister-in-law because she was my brother's first wife, and she's still my sister-in-law. She's still my sister, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he moved on. She didn't move on. She's still my sister. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I've had a lot of chance. I come down early in the morning. She's a real early riser, and so am I, and She's been kind of sick because she just had that surgery. She had cancer in her bone in her jaw, and this was the second time she had that operation, and they replaced that bone. And I've shared that with you. And you know, it's been thrilling my heart that she's been talking about, you know, that she's a Christian, and you know, she was raised Catholic, and she never had ever told me she was a Christian before, you know, but she tells me that now, and she says, you know, and I've had some conversations with her, and I think I've preached her a few sermons in the morning, not on purpose, but when we'd get to talking, and you know what? God sent her to our house for a reason, you know, and I know it's for a reason, and I'm just praising the Lord, and, you know, I feel sorry for Margaret because Margaret's kind of waiting on her and taking care of her and everything, but that's Margaret. She's a loving person, and she'll do anything for you she can whenever she can, and that's the way she is, and I thank God for her. And, you know, anyway, I've had a lot of chances to talk to her, and, you know, she knows the Lord. She knows the Lord, and I'm so glad that she does. But just keep us in your prayers. You know, it's always hard when you have people move in with you. Being Big John Mover, moving all of our furniture around, making room for her and stuff, you know, so she could bring her stuff in there. And I've took chairs from the basement to the third floor, or what would be the third floor, from the third floor to the first floor, to couches out of the hallways that I've had two or three people help do it, and me and Margaret's moved them before because our hallway's kind of narrow, and that one room that she's put her stuff, a lot of her stuff in. You come in the hallway, and the stairs are, like, right there. So to get a couch out of there, you got to turn it all kind of which ways and stick it up in the air and slide it out and do all kind of stuff. But you know what? God helped us do all that stuff because I'm telling you, I've been having a sore back and a sore knee and stuff, but you know, the Lord's helped me get through all of this stuff, you know. And we went and moved all of her stuff that was left in her apartment over to our house, you know. And, you know, I know God does all things well, and he's got all things in control. So I'm not fretting over any of this, and I just want her stay to be there for her to feel free and feel like, you know, that we love her and we want her to be there and everything like that. And my niece is also there, you know. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into this word. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, we give you all glory, we give you all honor, and we give you all praise, for you alone are worthy. And I just thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for this word you've laid on my heart here today to share with the people. And I ask you, Father, to open their eyes to see it and open their ears to hear it, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. The first scripture that I have here for you. And well, I'll give you the title to the sermon first. It's Awake Thou That Sleepest and Eat of the Tree of Life. That's the title to the sermon today. Awake Thou That Sleepest and Eat of the Tree of Life. Okay? In Genesis 2, 8 through 9, it says that the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. And you know, I like that there's different words sometimes. You know, it says he formed man, and then there's other words where he says, where it says he created. And you know, that's not by chance, because when man was first formed, God wasn't done with creating him. And he's still in the process of creating us into his image and into his likeness as we wake up and get out of this sleepy realm that we're in and start really eating of the tree of life, okay? And anyway, it says there, and the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and he put man whom he had formed out of the ground, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden. And I want you to know that the tree of life is in the middle of the garden. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? And I'm going to tell you what the word tree means. Okay? If you look it up, the word tree literally means, you know, like a wooden thing or whatever, so on and so forth, you know, sticks and all this kind of stuff. But I'm going to give you the primitive root of that word, okay? And this is what I think God wants you to understand about the tree. It means properly to fasten or make firm. It means to close the eyes shut. To close the eyes shut. Now, I'm going to tell you that when he said that man partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what he did was he shut his eyes to the tree of life. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden. Man could have partaken of that. There was nothing said that he couldn't partake of that. But after he partook of the knowledge of good and evil, God put those flaming cherubim at the entrance when he drove man out of the garden. And I'm going to tell you where the garden is in a few minutes. He drove him out of the garden. And he said, lest he stretch forth his hand and take of the tree of life. Okay. I'm going to tell you, as long as you're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're not going to be able to eat of the tree of life. Now, I'm going to tell you who the garden is and where the garden is. You're the garden. You're God's garden. And you say, well, Brother Oscar, I don't know about that. You are God's garden. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of God and not of us. Now, when I say not of us, that's of that dual nature. But he said, I'll not give my glory to another, but you're not another. Okay, and you were born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You are part of him. Each seed is after its own kind. I've said that to you many, many times, and I'll probably say it to you 100 more times before it's all done. Each seed after its own kind. A seed can only bring forth what it is. And if you've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, it can bring forth nothing but God. Yes, that's all it can bring forth. Now, we're in the process of it being watered and it being buried in the earth, so to speak, in this earthen vessel. But, you know, he's going to bring that forth in his time and not in your time. He's an on-time God. You can't make it happen. Now, a lot of times we think we can make it happen. Now, what we can do is we can praise him, we can admire him, we can lift up and magnify his presence. And I'm going to tell you what, the more you magnify his presence, the greater his presence gets in your life and reflects into the lives of those around you, okay? Now, my next, I want you to keep that in mind, what I said to you about the tree. The primitive root means properly to fasten or make firm. And it says I.E., and that means this is what it's really saying, if you want to get down to the I.E. on it. It means to close the eyes shut. Now, let's talk about some trees here. In Zechariah 4, verse 1 through 14, out of the Amplified Bible, I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. The Lord woke me up years ago and dealt with me about this, and boy, he just opened it right up to me when he opened, and this Amplified puts it about as clear as I can put it. But I hadn't looked at the Amplified when he opened it up to me. But we'll start reading here. It says, and the angel who talked with me came again and awakened me. We need to pray, God, wake us up. Wake us up. Let us open them eyes instead of keeping them shut, like what happened in the garden. Man's eyes were shut. And we need to say, God, open our eyes that we can see and behold the beauty of you and what you're doing. It says, and the angel who talked to me came again and awakened me like a man who is wakened out of his sleep. Oh, my goodness. We need to wake up, folks. And he said unto me, what do you see? And I said, I see, behold, a lampstand all of gold with all its bowl, with its bowl of oil on top of it, and seven lamps on it. And there are seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which are upon the top of it. Seven is the number for God. I want you to know that, okay? It's the number for perfection, okay? And he says here, he says, okay, he says, and he said unto me, what do you see? And I said, I see, behold, a lampstand all of gold. And gold is talking about the divine nature of God. And the bowl for oil on the top of it, and seven lamps on it. And there were seven pipes to each of the seven lamps which were on the top of it. And there are two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side of it, feeding continuously with oil. Now the lampstand, I'm going to tell you what the lampstand is. It's the church. And the ministry that God wants to come into the church, there's some that he's called to be pouring oil into you from this side, and he's pouring it in from the other side. And if you notice, there's one on the right and there's one on the left. Guess who's on the right? Jesus. Guess who's on the left? You. You're a part of that left hand. We've talked about Benjamin, and I just did a whole bunch of teaching about the names of the 144,000 back in Sunday school. 34 pages of notes I just give to some of the people who asked that if they could have my notes. We went through it extensively. But the last son that was mentioned there was Benjamin. Benjamin's name means son of the right hand. And Benjamin is, all of the Benjamites were left-handed. Okay? And they were more skilled when it came to war than anybody else because they were left-handed. And that said, and when they talked about war with them, they said they could kill a hare at a hair's breadth. They could throw stones with a sling and stuff and kill a hare, you know, way far away. They were extremely skilled with their left hand. And sometimes in the natural, I think some of y'all might be of the tribe of Benjamin and you don't know it. A lot of those pitchers that are in baseball, they might be of the tribe of Benjamin, because the really good ones, left-handed ones, they get the most money because everything's geared toward right-handed people. But anyway, I want you to realize that There's an olive tree standing on the right hand, and there's an olive tree standing on the left side of this lampstand. And I'm going to go ahead and read some more. And it says, these are the two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side, feeding it continuously with oil. Now, Scripture talks about there being two witnesses, okay, in Revelations, two witnesses. And everybody's just waiting for these two witnesses to come in the natural. And you talk to the church out there, they're just waiting for these two prophetic witnesses to come and all this. Let me tell you, the two witnesses are here already. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But I love what Brother Shepherd used to say. He you know, Brother Shepherd, I love Brother Shepherd. Me and him had a lot of conversations over the years. And I had some with him which wasn't in church because he used to come to our shop because we'd give him work sometimes to do. And I had a lot of conversations with him over the years, a lot. Probably more than most of you guys did, because I seen him on a weekly basis outside of church, you know, sometimes two or three times a week. But, you know, when he talked about the two witnesses, here's what he called the two witnesses: faith, which worketh by love. And I'm going to tell you what, Scripture says that Jesus was the author and the what? Finisher of our what?
Faith.
Faith. Faith can't work without him. If he's the author of it, he's the one that starts it, and he's the one that finishes it. It can't work without him, which worketh by love. Now, what was the new commandment that he gave us? I give you a new commandment. And what was that new commandment? That you do what?
Love
one another, even as I have loved you. And the world is not going to believe until we start loving each other, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, that's like I shared with you last week about that song, What the World. Well, I think I might have shared it down at the radio station, because I was talking about love down there. But that song, I shared it down there. Great song, secular song. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. And it goes on, keeps talking about love. And you know what? That's a prophetic song, whether that person realizes it or not. That's what the world needs, is the love of God. And you know what? Until we start loving each other and expressing the love of God to them out there, they're not going to believe. And that tree on the once on the right side of the bowl, if it's faith which worketh by love, if that's what it represents, and on the left side of the bowl, it's talking about work of love. The work is love. That's what we're to do, is to love, you know. And it's faith which worketh by love, and it only works by the love of God, okay? So the next verse says, so I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And let me tell you something. When God starts dealing with you about anything, don't act like you know the answer. Quit acting like you know the answer. You don't know the answer most of the time. Be honest with the Lord. What are these, my Lord? And the angel who talked with me, he answered me, Don't you know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And then he said, this addition of the bowl on the candlestick, causing it to yield a ceaseless, I love that, ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees, is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. I'm going to tell you what. You can try to stand on your head for 3 weeks and say, Lord, I'm going to stand on my head until you make me a full-fledged son of God. And you know what you're going to get? a sore head, unless God is wanting to bring that fullness to you. Your blood's going to rush to your head. You're going to pass out and fall over, probably. Okay? A ceaseless supply of oil from the olive trees. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, of whom the oil is a symbol, says the Lord of hosts. Now listen to this. And I want to tell you, this goes for you in your life today, in your walk with God. I don't care what's happening in your life. It says, for who are you, O mountain of human obstacles, before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking rebuilding of the temple before him? You shall become a plain, a mere molehill, and he shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people crying, grace, grace to it. Oh, wow. You think grace ain't in the Old Testament? It's back there, buddy. This was a prophetic word that was given here. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. Now, let me tell you what. There's only one foundation. That's Jesus Christ. I don't care what people say out there. That's the problem that I have with when people talk about total inclusion instead of total reconciliation. There's a difference between inclusion and reconciliation. Yes, God is going to ultimately save everyone. I'll tell you that right now. And if you don't like it, you just have to lump it. That's what it is. That's what I'm going to tell you. Because he is going to save everyone. If the scripture tells me he works all things after the counsel of his own will, and if his word declares he's not willing that any should perish, guess what? His will is going to be done. Okay? Now, when he said, for who are you, O mountain of human obstacles before Zerubbabel, who with Joshua had led the return of the exiles from Babylon and was undertaking rebuilding the temple before him, you shall become a plain, a mere molehill. He shall bring forth the finishing gable stone of the new temple with loud shoutings of the people crying, grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, the hands of Zerubbabel, and we'll talk about them in a minute here, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it. Then you will know and recognize and understand that the Lord of hosts has sent me, his messenger, to you, who with reason despises the day of small things. Let me tell you what. Whatever small things God's doing in your life, whatever small things he's telling you to do, don't despise them. Yes. Do them. Yes. Do them. Be obedient. I don't care what he tells you to do. Be obedient to the little things. If you're not obedient to the little things, he'll not let you do the greater things. Don't despise the day of small things. I'm going to tell you what. If somebody asks you to take up the offering, hop up and go run and take up that offering. If somebody asks you to help do something at the church down here, and I'm not saying do it as unto the Lord. Come and help do something. If somebody asks you to, whatever God opens up opportunities for you. I'm going to tell you what. I told the Lord one time when he was started giving me that poetry years ago. I told him, I said, Lord, whenever you want me to do something, you have to open the door. I said, but I'm not going to beat the door down, and I'm not going to break it down. You have to open it. When you open it, I'll walk through it. You know what the first thing that God opened up for me to do? You want me to tell you? I'm going to tell you. It was to serve at a wedding. To serve at a wedding. Now, I'm not real domestic. Margaret can tell you I don't do no cooking or anything like that because they beat me up when I was younger. And when I say they beat me up, I cooked dinner for them one time. They got the flu and they were throwing up. And boy, they beat me up over that for years. And they still do once in a while. They kid me about it. So guess what Oscar don't do? I don't cook. I made them this steak dinner. I made them some curried rice and some different things. And I went right by what the cookbooks and stuff said, and I thought I did a wonderful job. I really did. And I think some of them was getting the flu or something at that time, and they started throwing up and stuff. And, boy, they rode me like a pony. And they still get me once in a while over that. So guess what I don't do? I don't cook. Not that I probably couldn't do it. I probably could. But I don't no more. Because I told them, I said, well, you guys have blew your shot with me cooking anything for you. I'm not going to do it. All right. But listen here. It says, don't despise the day of small things. When the Lord had some people come to me and say, Brother Oscar, would you serve at a wedding? And I had to pass out food and take the dirty plates and do all this stuff. And you know what? I had told the Lord, Lord, when you open the door, I'm going to step through it. And you know what? That was the first door he opened. Nobody had ever asked me to do anything at the church at that time, other than one time I was asked to teach a class, you know, but I didn't do it. I did it for a short span of time. But anyway, that was one of the first things that the Lord had me do, was be a servant. So I did that. And, you know, Clyde and them won't hardly let me do anything around here. When they're doing something down here and I say, hey, I'll come down and help you do that, they won't let me do it. They kept, well, we didn't let Brother Eddie do it, so we're not going to let you do it. I thought, Clyde, I don't care to come and do stuff. So I come and do stuff when they can't do it or something. I do it anyway sometimes. And I mean, when Clive had his surgery and stuff, I came and cut the grass for a couple years there, you know. Now Curtis and Clyde cut the grass, and I'll say, man, I tell Curtis, I said, if anytime you don't want to cut the grass, just call me. I'll come down here and cut it. They never call me. I tell them, I say, you want me to get you some gas? You know, I'll get the gas. You know, I'll go get the gas for you. They never call me to get the gas. I got a truck. I can get a gas station down there close to my house. I can get it. I only live 2 miles away from here. I can drive right up here and give it to them. They won't let me do anything. It exasperates me a little bit sometimes because I like to help, you know. I'm not past helping do things. But I realize that maybe that's the Lord's way of having them do it. You know, one time we had a camp, and a bunch of the young people came back from camp. And they was on fire for God when they came back. They was. And, you know, I had been sitting in elders' meetings, and I wasn't considered an elder at that point, originally. And when they went to camp, by that time I think I was an elder. I'll take that back. I was an elder. I'd been appointed an elder. And they wanted to have a meeting on what could they do in the church to get more involved. Well, I had been in men's prayer meetings many, many times and heard those brothers in the prayer meetings, the older brothers, saying, God save my kids. God do this. God do always about their kids. Clyde can attest to that, can't you, Clyde? Well, they came back from camp, and, buddy, they was all fired up, and they was wanting to do stuff. And they were going to have a meeting, and everybody was invited to this meeting. I was the only elder that showed up for that meeting. And I got a call from a brother who's no longer here, and, you know, I won't mention any names or anything. Said, Oscar, he says, did you go to the meeting that the young people had tonight? I said, yeah, I did. And he says, I hear they're trying to take over the church. I said, what? He said, I hear they're trying to take over the church. I said, no, brother. I said, what I heard was answer to prayer that I heard you guys pray for years. God, get a hold of my young people. You know, get them on fire for you and stuff. And I said, and I'm going to tell you, it wasn't long after that that I started taking care of when we went down to City Gospel Mission. And what did I start doing, Clyde? Started asking a whole bunch of people to speak, a whole bunch of people to minister. And you know what? I started trying to get them involved as much as I could. We went down there and sang. We went down there and would minister, give them, we would feed them, and then we would preach a sermon or whatever. And I started trying to get them involved. Because I'm going to tell you what the Lord dealt with me about one time. I used to pray, and I used to say, God, make me a manifest son of God. I'd pray that because God showed me sonship from the time I first got saved. I didn't go through a lot of the courts that some of you all went through. God took me into this message right from the get-go. He showed me things that I didn't hear preached for 10 or 15 years. I'm going to tell you the truth. Right off, because I sat before him and I said, Lord, you teach me, you lead me, you guide me. And you know what he did? He taught me, he led me, and he guided me. And sometimes when I would say something back then, people's eyes would get real big like, you sure about that? You know, well, yeah, I was sure about it because God told it to me, you know. Yes. But let me tell you what. Those guys got on fire for the Lord. And I told that brother, I said, no, brother, I said, what I saw was an answer to you all's prayers. You all you elder brothers, an answer to your prayers. You'd been praying for years. I'd heard you pray for years about light a fire under my kids. You know, save them, Lord, get them in. And, buddy, when it happened, it was that. I mean, that was the only person that said that to me. And I told him, and you know, when I told him, I said, I just heard an answer to you guys' prayer. You know what happened? Well, I'll see you later, brother. Nice talking to you. That was the end of that conversation. But I'm going to tell you what. That should be your heart's desire. The Lord dealt with me about, I told you about the sonship thing. I'd pray, God, make me a manifest son of God. And then I felt like that the Lord began to deal with me, and he told me, son, he said, I've called you to have a servant's heart. Okay, a servant's heart. And I felt like he let me know the ministry I've given to you is to help the body of Christ grow up, because creation will never be set free until they grow up. And that's why I open this pulpit up to people. I've had ministers say to me that come from the outside, when they ask me how this church functions, and I tell them, you know, I try to open it up and I encourage people to get up here and share and stuff. And sometimes I have to really nudge you guys pretty hard to get you to do it. You know what they'd say to me? You must be crazy, Oscar. You'll have chaos. You'll have this. And you know what? I've not had one speck of chaos over that. I told you, I taught Sunday school for years, the adult Sunday school class. This brother come in, and his name was Brother Ham, and they said, one of the other brothers said to me, said, Brother Ham's here, Oscar, be careful. He really likes to try to take over, and he gets really out there, and he's really this and really that. I taught, and I gave definitions to words and everything else, and anytime you deviated away from the King James Version of the Bible, he'd get upset, this guy would. I gave definitions of words and things. Didn't hear a peep out of him. The brother who told me to be so careful, he got up about 2 weeks later, and this guy came for a few weeks, and he started speaking. And the minute he started speaking, guess who popped up? Brother Ham. Started mouthing off, and they actually had to escort him out of the church. The thing I feared the most came upon me. I don't fear that kind of stuff. God's in control. God's in control of this assembly. Whoever God wants to be the minister in this assembly, that's okay with me. If you guys come to me tomorrow and say, Oscar, we don't want you to be the pastor no more, you know what I'll do? I'll say, well, God bless you. And I'll go, I'll quit worrying about it. I'll say, okay, Lord, thank you. You know. Now, I'm just telling you, this is not anything God puts in your hand, and I've told Clyde this many times, and he knows, he's heard me say it a lot of times, anything God puts in your hand, hold it loosely. Let God hold it in your hand. If it's supposed to be there, he'll hold it there. You know, when we built this church, we had some people leave and get mad over some silly stuff that shouldn't have been nothing. And you know, we lost a few people. And you know what? I told them people back then, I said, look, if you guys don't want me to be the pastor, just say the word, and I'll walk away. And I would have. But I tell you what, I heard people say, well, you know, being those people left, that church will fold. I heard people tell me that certain people said that. Oh, it'll probably fold up. 13 years ago, folks, we're still here. 13 years ago, folks, this building's paid for. $800,000 is what this church cost to build. That's not including what we paid for the property. We paid $200,000 for the property. So $1 million. Now look at the people out here. It isn't because everybody kicked in a whole bunch of money. I mean, our offerings are not real. They're good enough because they're what God wants them to be. But you know, it hasn't been that the wealthy people kicked in a whole bunch of money and we paid it off because of that. That ain't happened. But I tell you what. This thing, God caused this to get built.
Yes, amen.
I don't care if, and that's one reason why, you know, in the natural, looking out this little crowd, if I looked at this little crowd in the natural, I'd say, well, Lord, you ain't blessing this thing, I'm leaving. You know what I mean? But I know that when we've been on the internet for years, and I always felt like we was going to end up on the internet, because years ago when they had little Atari computers and stuff, I bought a computer because I felt like I was supposed to and started learning how to use a computer a little bit. And I felt like somehow God was going to use all that. Well, then quite a few years ago, we got on the internet. All of our messages go on the internet. All of the Sunday school classes go on the internet. When we go down to the radio station now, Curtis does a wonderful job. I so appreciate him. He puts that on he records it and puts it on the internet. And I used to trace it, and sometimes in a year's time we would get 35,000 hits. 35,000 hits where people would go on and listen to our messages. Now, I haven't checked it for a long time because I'm not sure I know exactly how to do it because we went to another server. But I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't way more than that now. So every time one of you shares this, when you sing a song over there, sister, if we record it, it's being heard all over the world. When you share a testimony, it's being heard all over the world. When you get up here and speak, it's being heard all over the world. Now, Brother Eddie, he went on the radio years ago, and he hit Middletown and a lot of these areas around, you know, And that radio broadcast, it might have went as far as maybe 100 miles. I don't know if it went that far or not. But I'm going to tell you what. Okay, 100 miles then. About 100 miles. Okay. What we do now goes millions of miles. It goes all the way around the world. You know, the circumference of the world is 25,000 miles. And it don't go around there once. It goes around there anytime somebody clicks on that message. No matter where they're at, if they got a computer. If they type in wings, guess what? Guess who pops up? We're somewhere on that list. We pop up. I don't know if we'd pop up if you type in chicken wings or not. Maybe. I hope so. I hope we do, because some of the people eating chicken wings, they need to hear this message too. But, okay, let's get back to the word here. It says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands shall also finish it. Guess what? You are co-laborer together with Christ. You are co-builder together with him. And it says, and you shall recognize and understand that the Lord of hosts has sent me his messenger to you. So with this reason, despise not the day of small things. For these seven shall rejoice when they see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. And then I said unto him, the angel who talked with me, what are these two olive trees on the right side of the lamp and on the left side of it? And a second time he said unto me, what are these two olive branches which are beside the two golden tubes or spouts, by which the golden oil is emptied out? And he answered me, do you not know what these are? God asks you sometimes. And when he asks you, If you don't know, tell him, no, Lord, I don't know. Please reveal it to me. And he said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he said unto me, these are the two sons of oil, Joshua the high priest. Joshua's name means God the Savior. We know who God the Savior is. Joshua the high priest, we know that he was a high priest after the order and rank of what? Melchizedek, not the Levitical priesthood, and Zerubbabel, the prince of Judah. Zerubbabel means, if you go to the root of it, it literally means one born out of Babylon, one born out of confusion. And guess what? We were all there, every one of us. And when we were born again into the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, we were born out of that confusion out there into the kingdom of God. And these are the two anointed ones, the two anointed instruments, that stand before the Lord of the whole earth as his anointed instruments. Wow. You and Jesus, the church in between. The candlestick in between. And the anointing flowing from you into the bowl. The anointing flowing from him into the bowl. And it giving a ceaseless supply of oil to the church. A ceaseless supply of the anointing. God, grow us up. Grow us up so we can begin to pour that oil in. And begin to minister to the church. And when I say the church, I'm not just saying the recognized church out there. I'm saying the ones that don't know that they're the church. Help us to pour that oil in. Okay. Revelations 11, 3 and 4. And I'll be done here in a few minutes. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,200 and 70 days clothed in sackcloth. You know, sometimes, you know, sackcloth was a garment of mourning. And, you know, I shared recently with a sister. She said, Oscar, I just feel like crying all the time. I don't understand it. I don't know where I'm at. And I shared that scripture with her. I said, Scripture says, let the priests get between the porch and the altar and let them weep and cry out unto the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what. Some of us, that's what we're called to do. We're called to cry for creation. We're called to cry that God's anointing flow throughout the whole earth and begin to set creation free into that glorious liberty of being the children of God, like it says in Romans, the 8th chapter. Praise God. It says, and the witnesses are the two olive trees and the two lampstands which are before the Lord of the earth. 1,000, that's divine completeness, the glory of God. 200, insufficiency. Guess what? He uses your insufficiency. He wants to pour his sufficiency through your insufficiency. He wants to pour his anointing and his power through your weakness. Because his strength will be made perfect in weakness. And 60 was pride. And 42 is Israel's oppression, the Lord's advent, the 42nd generation. I've shared this with you before. If you go into Matthew and you read of all the genealogies in Matthew, when it's talking about the genealogies from Jesus, it tells you there was 14, 14, and 14. And somebody that's real good at math, tell me, what's 3 14s? 42. Okay, 42. If you count them, you know how many's back there? 41. Wait a minute now. There's a mistake in the scriptures. No, there's not. In Psalm 22, 29 through 31, it says, and all they that are fat upon the earth shall eat and worship, and they shall go down to the dust and shall bow before him, And none can keep his soul alive. You can't keep your soul alive. There's only one person who can keep your soul alive. That's the Lord. And it says here, and a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted unto the Lord for a generation. That's your 42nd generation, you. You're the 42nd generation. You're his seed. And they shall come, and they shall declare his righteousness unto the people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Not you, he hath done this. But he's going to work through you. Okay? Praise God. I want you to know, folks, when you see a lot of these symbolic things in Revelations about the candlestick and all that, I want you to know, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Jesus also said that there was an olive tree, and that we were engrafted into the olive tree, the Gentiles, okay? And I'm going to tell you what, we're one of those trees. In Psalm number 1, it says, blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For he shall be like a tree planted by waters. And he'll bring forth his fruit in his season, you know. And let me tell you what, up in Revelations, when John had that vision in Revelations, he saw that crystal stream. And I'm going to tell you what, the water of God is crystal clear, and it's a crystal stream. And I'm going to tell you, when the light hits it, it breaks the light down and lets you see what the colors, lets you see what it really is. On each side of the stream, there's your two again, there was a tree, and it was for the healing of the nations. Let me tell you what, you're for the healing of the nations. Don't let people drag you into being other than a healer. Don't let them drag you into being other than someone who speaks positively, someone who spreads the love of God, not hatred, not dissension, not all these other things. I'm going to tell you what, folks, we need to quit doing that stuff. If we find ourselves in that situation, stop. Ask God to help you stop. And I'm going to tell you something else. If someone's encouraging you to be anything but the love of God, then you quit listening to them. You quit listening to them because they're not speaking for God. Okay, folks, that's all I had to share with you today. I love you. I hope nobody got mad at me last week. I think probably a couple people might have. I don't know. But I spoke God's heart, what I felt God told me to tell you. And I'm going to do that, whether you get mad at me or you don't, because I love you enough to tell you the truth. And I want you to know that you're a tree. And I wonder, before we go back to eat, and we'll let this be our blessing over the food, could you come up and we'll sing one song? Thank God I'm a tree. Let's sing that song, okay? And then we'll go back and we'll eat. And we can fellowship. Just this one song. If you all stand, we'll sing the song and we'll close with this.
Thank God I'm a tree, planted by living waters. My leaves shall not wither, my roots go down deep, and we shall bear fruit. How can we but help it? I'm a tree of the Lord, and I'm planted by Him. Oh, thank God I'm a tree. Yes, planted by living waters. My leaves shall not wither, my roots go down deep. Oh, and we shall bear fruit. How can we but help it? We're trees of the Lord, and we're planted by Him. Yes, we're trees of the Lord, and we're planted by Him. Oh, we're trees of the Lord. planted by him.
Praise God. Praise God. Go forth, trees, and enjoy your dinner.